This morning, our topic, or my title of the sermon this morning is called The Three-Car Garage. Let's bow our heads as we ask God to be with us through prayer. Loving Father, it's a great honor to be able to speak on your behalf, Lord. I thank you for that personally. I'm not worthy to do that, so you must give me the words to preach. I pray that my words would not be mine, but yours, and that our hearts would be open to receive your message, Lord. We pray that each one here who has arrived today is not by mistake, but that you have led each one of us here by your Spirit to hear the words of life through your Bible. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to come and die, to pay the penalty for our sins, Lord, but we still are in sin and we want to learn how to live without sin. Please teach us your ways. Please help our hearts to let go. Lord, we ask that you be with us at this time and that you would calm our spirits. Speak to our conscience and open our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was about 23 years old, I lived on the other side of Canada, and I've shared this many times with you. I'm not from Newfoundland. I'm from British Columbia, and I've come a long ways and a long journey, which has taken many years, eight, maybe even going on 10. I became a Christian in 2011. And I've been choosing God ever since. And so when I was about 23 years old, my job at the time was as an apprentice in the trades. I was looking for work in the industries to try and get my industrial maintenance ticket. That was my goal. And as it happened, I was working for an industrial gas fitting and plumbing firm or company, and they had some interesting clientele. And this is one of those stories that I want to share. So one day I was assigned to go work at a particular job site, and this was in the north side of Vancouver. If anyone's ever been there to Vancouver, you'd know that the north side of Vancouver are where all the rich people, I'll just put it plainly, the rich people live on the north side. And all the regular folk live in the city, in the town of Vancouver. And then outside of that would be Burnaby. And the rent gets cheaper as you go further out, of course. So this particular day, we were in North Vancouver, and I had driven a long, long ways to get there down a narrow, tight road. And this particular road, you would think it would just a regular, the kind of one that's like called Water Street down in St. John's. That's the one that's closest to the water, I believe. This is the one that was closest to the water in North Vancouver. And this one was called Marine Drive. It goes east-west. And as I was going, we get through the high-rises and all the downtown part of the city, and then it would turn into actually just a narrow two-lane road on one lane on each side. And I was going down, and I was looking for this address. I had never been there before, and so I was looking around, and I couldn't find it, and I was driving, and I was driving, and then there it was, this little alleyway covered by bushes. You could hardly see it. I had to sort of make a weird left turn and sort of go back and around, and then I'd be on this alley, and there it was, sure enough. So I had driven down, you know, about 7 a.m., and I couldn't find the house. Where's the house? Where's this place that we're going? Usually we'd go to a factory, or usually we'd go to a building or a tower or something to do this industrial gas fitting work. And this one, I was looking for the house. I couldn't find it. So I waited probably about an hour, and 8 o'clock rolls around, and there's my coworkers, and yep, I was at the right place, and they let me in. And there was a gate. We go through this gate. And as I was going down the driveway, I discovered this wasn't an ordinary house, if you know what I mean. This wasn't a house that you would find in very many places, this one is more than a house. I'll say that for sure. Because below the house was actually the beach. This was up on top of a hill, and below the house was a beach. So it was obviously that this person who owned this house was quite wealthy. Very wealthy, in fact. And as we got down to the driveway, they had not one, not two, not three, not four, but five. Very expensive. Probably $500,000 apiece cars sitting in the driveway. And I looked at these cars, and I have never seen so many amazing car, Ferrari, the Porsche, probably Mercedes was too low class for this one. They would have the Rolls Royce. They would have, I couldn't imagine how this person could have that kind of wealth, to have five vehicles. So a three-car garage was not enough for this person, was not enough. And so as we were working, we were installing a heating system for this person in their house. We got in. We didn't go through the front door. No, you couldn't let the average person go through the front door. We had to come in the side to get to where we were going to work. And I discovered that they were going to be spending probably close to $100,000 on a heating system for this house. $100,000. I mean, that's the price of half of a house. That was an amazing amount of money. I couldn't imagine. Well, it was nothing to this person, evidently. So we walked through their personal lounge bar area with their pool tables and big screen TVs to the theater where they had their home theater and their seating arrangements. And we had to walk through there. And then we finally get back to do the work where the heating system needed to be installed. Well, why am I telling you all this? What am I getting at? Well, there's wisdom in the Bible, and Solomon himself says that, and I didn't find the quote for you this morning, I'll have to paraphrase it. You know, all rivers flow into the ocean, but the ocean doesn't fill up. It doesn't overflow. The ocean doesn't overflow, but all the rivers flow into the ocean. Think about that as we move forward. So, here we are. We're in Matthew chapter 6, the first gospel in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. It's an interesting chapter. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He has a multitude of people sitting around listening to the words of life, listening to him preach about the kingdom of heaven. You know, we love baby Jesus. You know, every time it's Christmas, there's always a baby Jesus. But do we love big adult Jesus? Big adult Jesus has things to say. Baby Jesus didn't say much. He just shows the grace, the love of God, that he would send his own son to die for us. But adult Jesus has a lot to say. I don't always like listening to adult Jesus. He exposes my hypocrisy. He exposes my sinfulness, my inefficiencies. And at this particular time, it was a hard message for me to hear. It was hard for me to read verses 19 to 24 and then let alone share it with all of you. You know, why am I talking about a person with five very expensive sports cars and a very expensive house and a very expensive place? Well, it says right here in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures on earth. What do we mean by that? Well, I made it very clear by drawing an example of an extravagant lifestyle that many of us don't have access to, so that we could clearly and easily pinpoint what it is that treasures on earth look like. Well, of course, the people with lots of money, the ones with lots of cars, and they live in the nicest homes, and they have the nice fancy jobs, and they don't have to worry about anything. Of course, they're the ones with all the treasures. They're the ones who are laying up treasures for themselves on earth. Or are they? Or are they? It says, don't lay up for yourselves, do not, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Friends, have you ever thought about how quickly your paychecks disappear as soon as you get them? I get a paycheck and boom, it's gone. I feel like it's being stolen from me. Why is it I have to go back? You know, here, I don't have to pay for my water. Where I was before, I had to pay for water. That's outrageous. You think water's free. It's not. You know, it felt like that I was being stolen. My money was being stolen from me every month. Heating, lights, gas, water. It's never ending. And then you have to pay the rent. And then you have to pay this. And you have to pay that. New tires. It adds up. But that's, what am I talking about here when I'm talking about, when Jesus is talking about, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth? Well, evidently, the people who have the money, they're laying up their treasures on earth, as it would seem. They're living their luxurious lifestyles. But we who don't have access to that kind of wealth, what are we striving for? What are we working for? What are we putting our money towards when we get it? We don't have a lot, but what are we putting it towards? Well, many of us, we want to give our kids, I don't have any kids yet, but I'll just start with the kids. We want to give our kids the better life that we didn't have. We want to give them the education they didn't get, that we didn't get. We want to give them a chance at having a better life, the one that we didn't get. I know that's probably how I would. If I had children, I would be trying to set it up for my children to have a better life. I know that many of us, we work so hard and we pay off our mortgage, and after 25 years, you own that house. If you can't afford a car with cash, you have to go to work so you can pay for it, right? You got to pay for it. I buy my car so I can go to work, so I can go to work to buy my car. It's a conundrum. I don't understand it. How did we find ourselves in this situation? Our treasures are not merely the things that we spend our money on, though. Although, getting to verse 21, we'll see what he means. Our treasures can be the things which we don't actually own yet. Those could be your dreams and your aspirations. Those things that you personally, I, Fred Naherny, want to do this, want to do that. You all have the same thing. You want to do your things. And you esteem, and we all do this, esteem our idea of what we want to do very highly. That's why we're fighting all the time. Our own selfishness is worth quite a lot. That's why we're willing to fight for it. If you've been married for some time, you probably have gone through the hardships of marriage, the times where your conversations were not always loving, the times when you said the things which weren't very nice to your partner. It happens. Because of our selfishness, we say these things. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Amen. Jesus is saying, set your hearts on the things above. Set your hearts, put your money where your mouth is. You say you're a Christian, be a Christian. Put your treasure in heaven. Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of the people of that time. They said, we're the Jewish nation. We're holding the secrets of God. He says, yeah? Where's your treasure? I don't believe you. Because you put a lot of value on the things of this earth. Friends, this earth is passing away. I have to speak very plainly at these things. The earth is passing away. There's coming a time where possessions will hinder your ability to make it to heaven. Oh, I don't have a lot. But I don't have a lot. It's not about having a lot or a little as much as it is where you're putting your emphasis, where you're putting your focus on your life. You know, I don't have a problem with people saying they're investing or they have a business or they have fancy things. That's not where my problem is. Jesus himself said that the wise servant, the wise steward, invested his money and made five more. In fact, he cursed the one who didn't invest. We're not lazy stewards. That's not what I'm getting at here. No, our focus has to be heaven bound. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You remember that verse that Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven? Well, Solomon himself was the richest man. He will narrowly, I believe, make it to heaven, only because at the last minute he relented of his wickedness, only because he had to turn and realize that he was at fault. The sin had been done. The nation had already been corrupted. But he had the opportunity to turn back at the last moment and relent. Friends, as we think about these things, I want us to think about our eyes for one moment. The Laodicean message in Revelation chapter 3 speaks to us as a church today. As we understand the seven churches, Laodicea being the last church in Revelation, the prior churches have already taken place. Laodicea is the church which we find ourselves today, and the message is quite clear that we need something to apply to our eyes in order to see the circumstances of our condition and the world today. We have to look and see what the real situation is out there and in here. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, clear, or healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Friends, if we close our eyes to the light, how much light is going to get into you? Nothing, right? Just like if you were in your room, it was broad daylight, and you closed the blinds and you shut the curtains, your room, and you closed the door, turned the lights off, it'd be pretty dark in there, right? It'd be pretty dark. So with the literal world, let's take it to the spiritual world in a figurative sense. If your eye or your spiritual discernment, okay, let's make the transition there. If your spiritual discernment is like this, and you're closing your eyes to the spiritual things that are happening according to the Bible, how much light is going to get into your life to change your life? Nothing. We have to open our eyes. We have to accept spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We have to accept that God's truth may go against, may run contrary, may not be the popular thing of the day. We may be at a point where we have to say, I've been a member of this church for so many years, but I do not agree with what is going on. I have heard recently that there are certain churches which are marrying inappropriate marriages biblically, and it's a trend. Hallmark has a commercial on TV with a marriage between two women. I have to speak out against these things. I will not stay silent. This is not a biblically founded marriage. And it's portrayed to the whole world as if this is an okay thing. Well, is God okay with us just taking what he says and making it our own and say, oh, well, that's what God says, but I don't believe in God? Does that change the fact that God's in control? Can God say, what am I going to do with this rebellious people who don't want anything to do with me? Well, if it's like a child and a child is rebellious, when I was younger, my dad would take me into my room and spank me. I'm not saying that that's what you should do. I'm saying that that's what happened to me. Okay? I'll let you guys decide what you want to do with your children. The point is, we cannot close our eyes any longer. We must receive the light of God's truth into our lives. How great of that darkness it must be for the individuals who know the truth, yet will not live according to it. They have to have their hands completely over their eyes. They see the world. They see the nation. Every time I read the news, no joke, every time I read the news, it's some murder. It's some heinous act. It's some crazy thing that would have never happened in an imagination is happening every single day. We have to be completely blind to think that Satan's not running this world. Good and evil, it's right there in front of us. How deep is that darkness that we will close our eyes? Friends, if we let the light into our body, God has an access point into our life. He can put the light of life into us, and he can transform us into beings of light. We know that as Jesus was resurrected, after he was nailed to a cross and a spear thrust into his side, no person could live through that. He died, and then he rose again from the death. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Now, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. He's in heaven ministering as our high priest. In heaven, he's doing something as a high priest would do. He's going through the antitypical Day of Atonement. Now, as I said before, if there's things that are not understood because it's never been explained to you, I understand. So we have a time set aside to explain these things more closely. Friends, this is the crux of the matter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Before I break that down, let me share with you another story. I love the history of my past. It was so chaotic, so disturbing, so terrible on every level. I just have to share it with you. It makes me laugh because it's embarrassing, but it's true. When I was younger, and was probably when I was about 21, I was looking for a job and I was trying to pay my bills because I had a truck. I told you guys how I got the truck. And I was trying to pay for insurance, so obviously you need a job. And I went and I had a part-time job doing industrial gas fitting, and I would get probably, you know, a good wage. I just would work one day every month or two. Now, you can't really pay bills on a regular basis if you're only making a paycheck every month or two, and you don't know when the next one's coming. So I went out to find a job. And as I was looking, I found another construction company, and the guy hired me, and he was like, yes, we'll have lots of work for you. We'll have you do this right now. And a few days go by, and then I had a meeting with my new boss. And in the meeting, I forgot to turn my cell phone on do not disturb. You guys have probably had that happen to you before when you're in some kind of important situation. Well, this happened to me, and I don't know what I was thinking. I could have just ignored it, but it was my other boss on the line. Now, if you're making, okay, more money, I don't want to give you figures. If you're making more money, but less often, or you're making less money more frequently, I don't know, you're in a tight place. So I answered the phone. Dumb thing to do. He wants me to come to work. Well, of course he does. That's why he called me. And I'm working for this guy at this time. Friends, I wasn't a Christian at this time, but now I'm looking at this verse. It's quite apparent. You can't serve two guys. You can't serve two bosses. You can't have two masters. It's impossible. So I got off the phone, and the guy said, you know, that was very rude of you to answer a phone call in the middle of our conversation. Well, you already know what happened. I'm here now, so obviously it didn't work out. But that's the reality of the situation. He was so upset that he got rid of me on the spot. How can I have someone like this in my company? There's no loyalty. So it was quite apparent where my servitude was. It was the one who was paying me more. And it seems that way with many of us. The world is just paying us more. The world has more to offer than Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus says we're going to have to lay down everything. Everything. Family. Cars. Jobs. Friends. Houses. I don't know. Countries. Whatever your allegiance is to in the place of God, it will and must be laid down. Because Christ himself had to lay it down. You know, he had to come and show us how to live. He lived and they killed him. They might kill us. Because Satan doesn't like it when people have their allegiance to God. We can't serve God and mammon. Mammon or riches or money could also be translated as the god of money. But in this instance, we'll just call it money or ease of life. We'll call it ease of life. Don't try and make your life comfortable so that you can have a comfortable life on earth. Jesus didn't come here to have a comfortable life, friends. We as Christians, we as people who take the name of Christ, are not going to have a comfortable time if we're following Jesus. If we're having a comfortable time, it's a good sign that there might be something amiss in our Christian walk. Now, I'm not trying to dog anyone here, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel as though they're not loved or this isn't a compassionate message. Friends, Jesus wouldn't have us do this for nothing. Eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has even entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We don't even know, you can't even imagine what God has prepared for us. God has things that haven't even entered the hearts of men prepared. He's going to create the earth new. He's going to destroy sinfulness for eternity. He's going to sit down with us and let us eat from the tree of life. We're going to look back and we're going to say, man, 75 years, what was that? I don't even remember it. Because you won't know. You'll be living forever. Can you compare? Can you compare the riches of this world? What does it matter if you get the whole world and lose your own soul? Jesus was tempted 3 times. He says, I'll give you everything. I'll give you this kingdom. I'll give you the earth, the kings of the earth. I can give you all the women. I can give you all the money, all the food, all the cars, everything you could ever imagine. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You have nothing in me. I'm not here to live a comfortable life. I'm here to follow you, Jesus. Friends, it's not easy. When we take that leap of faith, that first step into God's kingdom, oftentimes before baptism, you take that first step into God's territory, you're in a strange place. Everything's upside down. What do you mean you don't eat this? What do you mean you worship on this day? What do you mean that you don't do this? You don't watch that? Friends, let the Spirit guide you. Let him convict your conscience. Don't turn him away. Don't try and be perfect on the first step. He's walking with us like a child. We have to be born again. It takes years to grow back up into full stature. Be patient with yourself. When I thought about this message and I thought about the things that I'm holding on to, I got upset at myself. I want to let them go, but I can't. You see, there's coming a time, friends, and according to biblical prophecy, we may not be able to buy or sell. According to Revelation chapter 13, buying and selling will not be something God's people will be able to do on planet Earth. You think that it's crazy? You think that how could that possibly be? Well, a religious political entity who creates laws for their own gain, forcing people through the economic world that if they want to have access to their money or their jobs, they would have to do what they say is right. That's what we're talking about. That's why we can't have our treasure on this earth. We have to have it in heaven. He says that he has a book of remembrance for the good deeds. Don't blot out my good deeds, Lord, that I have done for you. And he says, I'll write them in a book. That would be one example of treasure in heaven. The things which we have done for Christ's sake, for God's sake. He sees those things. We don't need to tell everyone the good things we're doing. Jesus himself, God the Father, they see the things that we do, and he will bless us when we get to heaven. But more importantly, as we see the time approaching, there may come a point where we see a decision must be made. Either we choose God and we move forward with God, or we hold on to our riches. There's going to be a time where that decision must be made. You know, perhaps it's because the church is not able to finance the things that it used to be able to do. It's not able to look after itself in a financial way like it did. Some people may have to sell the excess parts of their land in order to keep the churches running. It wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time. Ellen White says, and I paraphrase, there will come a time when God's people who profess to be God's people will have the opportunity to let go of the excesses of their possessions in order to further the gospel. But after that time comes and goes, there will come a time where they no longer have that opportunity to further the gospel with their means. And I inquired, why? Why wouldn't they be able to do it in the future? Well, because it will be taken from them. If you're not part of the system, it will be taken from you. We will take from those who have and give to those who do not have. That's their plan. It's already happening. South Africa. If you don't live in your house for 2 or 3 months for an extended period, anybody can move into your house and claim it as their own. How is that possible? How is that possible? While we have it in our hand, let's use it for God's purpose. While it is still in our reach, while it's in our control, let's honor God by saying, we put you first. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it, but I trust that you can use it, Lord, and we can further your mission here on earth. Imagine we could have a lifestyle center or a place for elderly people to come and live their lives. We could have a school. All the things, if God's people would choose to put their treasures in heaven. I don't want to labor that thought too much longer. It's a hard thing to think. But the point is, we can't serve two masters. We have God or we have money. We have the cares of this world. We have the possessions. We have our jobs, our families. It was not easy to let go, and it's not. I speak from experience being on the other side of the country. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just speaking honestly, candidly. We wept for years, both of us, for years, knowing that we could not go back home to be comfortable with our families because we had chosen to serve God. But after the years of weeping were over, and it doesn't have to be, it could be one day if you choose. After the years of weeping were over, a burden was lifted out of our lives. A burden for the cares of this world. A burden for the things which we had set our minds on for so long. No longer mattered. Lord, I don't know how you can look after my family. I'm not there. I wanted to go help them. Follow me. Follow me. Like the fishermen, let the nets go. Jesus has more in store for you than you can even imagine. Friends, it's our time to reflect on the message from God. If perhaps there are things that you don't understand that I spoke about, the opportunity Tuesday nights, you could even come. I'd love to study with you. I don't know it all. I really don't. If there were things that touched you during this sermon, don't let it go. Pray about it. Perhaps you need someone to pray with you. We will pray with you. Perhaps this is the first time that you've recognized Jesus Christ at this level and you want to give your life over to God in a new way. This opportunity is here. We turn no one aside. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Eternal life, it's free for the taking. But will you grab it? Amen.